after all that good news, I've got a message called Behold, Trouble and Darkness. Don't want to throw water on you, but this is the name of my short message for tonight. Behold, Trouble and Darkness. And I want you to turn, please, to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. And we're going to be looking at verse 11, and then 19 through to 22. This is the prophet Isaiah. God speaking to him, eh? And this is inspired scripture for us today, all right? Isaiah chapter 8. A lot of people think, oh, the Old Testament's got nothing to do with us. We just need to read the New Testament. No. God speaks to us here, too, in the Old Testament. All of scripture is profitable, okay, for instruction in righteousness. But anyhow, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11, and then verses 19 to 22. Verse 11 says, For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. Wow. Down to verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have a familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, God speaking now to Isaiah, he says, Should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? Verse 20, To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And we see a lot of people speaking not according to God's word today. It's because they don't have any light in them. All right? God says, if they speak not according to this word, to the law and to the testimony, according to his word, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, listen now, verse 22, they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. God's telling us what's going to happen with these people. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to get something out of this, eh? Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word, you tell us, Lord, it's a light that leads us through darkness, Lord, and keeps our path illuminated, Lord, that we might put our feet exactly where you want us to put it, Lord. We won't be slipping on slippery rocks or stubbing our toes on things on the path, Lord, but there will be light shining before us, Lord, showing us the way that you want us to walk. And we hear your voice, Lord, speaking to us and saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And help us, Lord, not to veer either to the right or to the left, but to walk straight with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, to get for your Holy Spirit to instruct us from this word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And encourage us, eh? Everywhere in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul and other New Testament writers challenge we Christians to be true and faithful to God, even though life will not get better on this earth, spiritually speaking, all right? It's not going to get better, spiritually speaking. So we're still instructed, walk true with God, all right? In fact, God knows that things will get worse. A time of great darkness will descend upon the whole earth, Jesus warned in John 9:4. Jesus said, a time of darkness is coming when no man shall work. All right. He said that before darkness came upon his own ministry, and he prophesied about us, the church people, and the Jews too, there will be a time of gross darkness when we won't be able to go out and witness to people. There will be a time of darkness when no man shall work. However, God does not tell us to give up, to give in, or to change course. Sometimes we can get discouraged when we see ourselves in the minority, or when we see other people who are close to us drift from where they need to be spiritually, or when we ourselves find it a bit complicated to do the right thing. Yeah, we can, it's a bit hard to do this thing, to do right for God. Too many Christians see the apostasy in the church, or they experience difficulties, and they change their values and their theology to suit the situation, hoping to bring a bit of relief to their circumstances, or else they simply give up altogether. You know, we could make our lives a lot easier here at Coastline and have a lot of friends if we just weren't so strict about God's word. Couldn't we? We could have a lot of friends here if we weren't strict about walking close to God, all right? Yet the reality is, what we are going through in this life here, in this period of history, is nothing new to God. God knew all this stuff was going to happen, right? And he knew it was going to happen to us too. He knows our lives. God has not been caught unawares. Let's consider the situation in which God's people found themselves in the Old Testament during the ministry of Isaiah, and consider some parallels and challenges for us today. In the scripture we just read, God called his people to be faithful to him and warned them of discipline and or judgment if they refused to obey. You see that all through scripture. Previously, in Isaiah chapter 5, God told his people that if his people continued to forsake him and call evil good and good evil, he would use other nations to conquer them. He told them that, plain straight out. I'll bring that nation against you. And yet, knowing this, and what would be the consequences for their action, the people continued walking in their own ways, according to their own hearts, seeking spiritual counsel from the darkness around them. Does this sound familiar? That was in Isaiah's day. Does it sound familiar? In the increasing darkness descending upon Christendom today, God has spoken to us in his scriptures as well. We need to listen carefully to what he says and look to him alone for light in whatever darkness we may experience. Firstly, in our scripture tonight, we see that God's word is sure and clear. Hey, in verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 8, we read in verse 11, "For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people." God's telling us today, very clearly from his word, don't walk in the way of this people out here. Obey my word. Don't walk in the way of that people out there or those churches out there that are all into the apostasy. And like your mate, well, not a mate, but an accomplice, he thinks it's okay to drink and smoke and swear as a Christian. No, it's not. We're not supposed to do that. There's no Holy Spirit convicting him, you see. So, focusing his attention on Isaiah and the faithful remnant, God reminds them of several truths that are applicable to us as well. God declares that his word is sure. God spoke to Isaiah with a strong hand. Not only was God's strengthening hand upon the prophet, but God's word is certain and strong upon us too, if we will listen. Amen. We've got to listen to God's word, and don't just listen to it, do it. Isaiah declared the very words of the living God. What does this mean for us today? Secondly, we learn that God's word alone should have our attention. How amazing it is to think that God's people were seeking words of instruction from the dead rather than from him, the living God. He asks in verse 19, should not a people seek unto their God? They're going to wizards. Should not a people seek unto their God? They were turning to the dead on behalf of the living. Rather than seeking to know the words of the true and living God, they were seeking out spiritists, whose messages were described in verse 19 as meaningless peeping and muttering. Amazingly, many professing Christians are guilty of this same sin today, listening to numerous other voices rather than to the voice of God alone. Now, that can happen in a variety of ways. I knew people in the Pentecostal churches that used to go to fortune tellers and card readers and that sort of stuff. They'd go to that. Or they'd read the horoscope, you know, to find out how stupid, all right? But we also listen to false teachers, prophets, so-called prophets today. God's got no prophet. He's got no apostles. People can speak prophetically. But God hasn't got anyone getting around today. God spoke to me, and I've got this message for you. All right? And then I sprout off all the stuff that my wicked heart thought up, telling you God said it. God's not into that. The Word of God is all that we need. And you'll get that in the Pentecostal churches, big time. They'll get some visiting pastor, and he'll pick out people in the congregation and say, God's got a word for me, and he's saying this for you, and he's saying this for you, and blah, 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 blah. You know, the bloke I used to work for, he went broke, and he was a crook too, and he ripped people off, and he reckoned he was never going to go broke because a prophet told him in the COC church that he was going to become a multimillionaire. And I tell you what, that bloke, he strived hard to become a multimillionaire, and he ended up going broke. But he hung on to that thing, and he was even doing wicked things to keep his business afloat. I ended up getting out of it because I could see what was going on. So, He got that from a visiting prophet, you see, and laid hands on him and gave him this prophecy. And he stuck by it. Ended up, you know, lost his business by doing crook things, trying to become a millionaire, because this bloke told him he was going to be a millionaire. So they were turning to the dead on behalf of the living, as we said. Rather than seeking to know the words of the true and living God, they were seeking out spiritists whose messages were described in verse 19 as meaningless, peeping and muttering. Amazingly, many professing Christians are guilty of this same sin today, listening to the numerous voices rather than listening to God. We need to listen to God alone, all right? Thirdly, God's word alone will stand the test of time. During Isaiah's day, many false prophets told the people what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear things, and the prophets knew what they wanted to hear, and they'd tell them that. They wouldn't speak the truth to them because they'd all run away, you see. But they prophesied lies. They were prophesying lies. Again, in verse 19, we see that the Israelites took to listening to wizards in the land whose words were nothing more than empty vanity, which led the people further and further away from the will of God and into increasing darkness. In verse 20, God made a statement to the Israelites that should serve as a frightening warning for us today. He said in verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. What's our light? The word of God. He says the word of God's not in them. They've got no light in it. They don't speak according to this word, it's because they don't have God's word in them. Alright? We're supposed to eat the manna, the living manna, right? The word of God, and it becomes part of us. It becomes in us. And you know straight away, if somebody says something that's not scriptural, something goes, hang on, that's not in the Bible. So the more you know your word, the word of God, the more you can do that. All right? I'm going to talk about that. It's a fairly easy exercise for us today to determine if someone is speaking according to the law and the testimony, or speaking to, according to the word of God. We just need to listen to what you've got to do. We just need to open our Bibles and take a look, see if the peeping and mutterings of the one who is speaking forth the teaching agree with God's word. It's easy to find out if they're speaking truth. We got the truth in the book, in the Bible. Hey, and you know, if we'd been a Christian for any amount of time, and we've been doing what the Lord instructs us to in 2 Timothy 2:15, we won't need to run home to get our Bibles to check to see if the person is telling the truth. We will know as soon as he speaks that his doctrine is merely peeps and mutterings, and we should avoid him. God instructs us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God is omniscient. Omniscient means he knows everything. All right? And he knows the end from the beginning. And everything he says is true and unchanging. And he has revealed all that to his faithful followers in the scriptures. We need no other guide to lead us through the darkness of our present evil age. Fourthly, and finally, for our short lesson tonight, God's word alone is without error. God cannot lie, we are assured in scripture. Therefore, his word is truth. In the introduction to his letter to Titus, Paul wrote in verses 1 and 2, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. Is there something God can't do? Yep, he can't lie. Again, in Hebrews 6:17-19, you want to turn there? Hey, Hebrews, eh? I better get you to turn to something. In Hebrews 6:17-19, Paul reiterates the truth that God cannot lie. Reading from verse 17 in Hebrews chapter 6, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. We can have a sure and steadfast hope as an anchor to our soul, because we know God doesn't lie. Amen? If we read something in the scriptures, we can take it as absolute truth. Unregenerate men might not believe it, and nor can he do so. And even regenerate born-again Christians might not grasp it or comprehend it in its fullness, yet it is completely true because God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar, Paul wrote in Romans 3:4. When Christians choose to look for truth in some other book, person or place, they are bound for disillusionment and failure. In verse 19 and 20 of Isaiah 8, our opening scripture for tonight, we read the warning about those who seek for guidance from familiar spirits and wizards, going to the dead for guidance rather than to the living God. In verse 20, God says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Hey, that's a good scripture to memorize. When somebody comes to you and speaks something that you know it's not in the word of God, God says if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. In Isaiah 50 and verse 10, God asks a question which is relevant to us today. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God, not going looking everywhere for somebody else to give you words of wisdom. Stay upon the Lord our God, it says. Scripture warns, behold, trouble and darkness loom ahead. But unlike the unsaved, we Christians have the light of God's word to illuminate our way. The darkness shall not overcome us. Psalm 18:28 reminds us that the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Wow. That's a promise for us. If we know God's word and walk according to God's word, it says, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. The Lord speak to us with a strong hand today, in the same way that he did in the people in Isaiah's day. And he likewise instructs us that we should not walk in the way of the unsaved people into darkness, but we are to have faith in the name of the Lord and stay confidently trusting upon our God and what he says to us in his word. Amen? Amen? That's what we're going to do, eh? We're going to do that. Oh, that's what I'm going to do. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. And Kathy's going to play a hymn for us, and we'll close that. Thank you, Lord, for this short...